This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the crib. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the crib.
A recruiting loaded Thursday night live stream. Mr. Blake Ruffino will be joining us a little bit later, all a part of the nooffseason.com network. Shout out to the NOPOD fam as well. As the Shreveport Card Show this Saturday. Yes, Saturday, July 27th. Your boy will be there all day long. 735 American Way in Shreveport. If you wear a jersey, you get in free. It is a sports card collecting masterpiece. So we want to see you there. So bang, that is everybody that will be at the Bayou Bash, which is already going down. I said the Bayou Bash. What a splash from the past. I didn't say that smoothly at all. What a blast from the past. The Bayou Bash, you remember that? Back when signing day was in February, as God intended. But anyway, the splash is this weekend. And the bottom line is the splash is probably the biggest recruiting day of the year before everybody hits the field for high school football. So as you could see, lots of LSU commits are going to be there. And what's very interesting is a lot of these LSU commits are coming from all around. DJ Pickett from Florida, Harlan Berry from obviously Louisiana. But you have Derek Meadows coming all the way in from Las Vegas, Nevada. Carius Kern coming from Marion. That's about an eight-hour drive. Tyler Miller from Mississippi. Damian Shanklin all the way from Indianapolis. Charles Ross also from Texas. And then you also see a bunch of the Louisiana commits as well. I think a lot of you are more interested in the decommitments, or should I say the commits that are thinking about committing to LSU, the prospects that are thinking about committing to LSU. Jaime French is definitely one of those interesting players that LSU has recruited nonstop. Jonah Williams, the five-star safety, is definitely the headliner, though, of the crew. And look, a lot of us would love Jonah Williams to commit. Probably the best safety prospect to commit to LSU, I would guess, recruiting-wise, since a guy by the name of Jacoby Stevens. That was the last five-star safety, I believe, that committed to LSU. Now, they've had quite a few top 40 safeties commit to LSU, but it is very, very interesting. Jonah Williams, a prospect that is also a two-sport star who will also be playing baseball this year. So Jonah Williams, definitely the name that everyone has circled. And there are some recruiting experts out there that have already crystal balled Jonah Williams to go to LSU. So very interesting this young man out of Texas. There was a lot of vibes going in Oregon's direction, as there has been most of this recruiting cycle for pretty much every prospect, but we'll see what happens. A lot of these other names are very interesting. The one that stands out to me, though, is Aiden Anding, who had a lot, and I mean a lot, of LSU buzz roughly a few weeks ago, if not a month ago. He was expected to commit to Texas, didn't end up committing to Texas. I like Aiden Anding a lot, of three-star out of Ruston, so I find him to be very interesting. Now, there is one name that isn't there, and it is because of something very sad. Bryce Underwood had a high school teammate pass, or someone from his region pass, and he was actually a college football player. So Bryce will not be making the trip. That obviously would have been nice, considering Jaime French is, you know, visiting. But still, you send your condolences out to Bryce Underwood. And then as far as the 2026s are concerned, Jakeem Stewart, definitely the biggest name. But I do find it interesting. Chris Henry Jr., his dad played in the NFL, and he is the number one offensive player in the class of 2026, and he is currently an Ohio State commit. As you can see, a bunch of other top elite prospects from 2026. And I think Bryson Martinez is definitely a name that you need to get to know. But definitely good to have them on campus. I think a lot of you, though, are more so focused on the 2025s. So a pretty loaded list, as you would normally expect from a recruiting weekend. Now, coming up, Blake Ruffino will break it all down for us. Jonah is probably taking that first-round baseball money. $6 million a year is hard to pass up. Here's my thing. And this drives me insane. This drives you absolutely insane. Why on God's green earth would athletes be so talented to play two? I mean, hell, I was barely talented to play any of them. But to be so good that you're that good makes me jealous, because I had a 5-inch vertical leap. So obviously, all jokes aside, Jonah Williams is definitely, and I mean definitely, a player I'm very interested in. Now, part of the reason why I'm having Blake on tonight is he understands the baseball side of this way better than I do. So I don't know how that works exactly. Is it all one package deal? I know scholarship-wise, it's great that you can use up a scholarship in football. Now, I do want to share this. All right, because I alluded to this yesterday with our interview with Matt Zimick, probably the foremost USC expert on the planet, and he had some very strong takes towards the USC versus LSU matchup. I highly recommend you check it out. But because we had a guest, I wasn't able to get into this topic. There is some heavy, and I mean heavy, push for scholarship expansion. Now, I'm not going to gazillion, million, bajillion percent say that this is something that is going to happen. I believe it is. I've read it as is. But normally, if there is a big rule change such as this one, I am always a little bit more hesitant before saying, hey, this is something that is for sure happening. Okay? Now, part of why I say that is because things are supposed to be finalized on this tomorrow. And as many of you know, this is something that I have been very passionate about for quite some time. Okay? Now, roster limits and scholarship limits are different things, okay? But according to Ross Dellinger, schools can offer scholarships to full rosters starting 2025 and 2026. So, based on everything that I've read, and maybe I am reading this wrong, you can give out 105 scholarships in football, 15 in men's and women's basketball, 25 in softball, volleyball, 18. But in baseball, 34 full scholarships from 11.7. Now, do I like that? I do. Especially in baseball. Do I think it's going to have a massive impact on the game? I do. When you triple the amount of scholarships, it will consolidate the talent. So it will allow rosters to be more stacked. That benefits LSU. LSU is not only willing to spend more on scholarships, they are willing to just spend more in general, whether it's NIL, resources, or any of those things. So that is going to widen the gap between the SEC, which makes money on baseball and is willing to spend money on baseball. 34 is going to drastically change the sport. But we'll talk about that coming up with our college baseball expert joining us. Now, as far as some LSU football-related things, obviously the big story for now is the recruiting weekend. And we're going to be talking a lot about these prospects throughout the weekend. I do want to share one thing that is very, very important when it comes to recruiting is that not every single person on every single staff is on fire about a recruit. And I understand that that may shock some of you, but it actually makes more common sense. Now, that doesn't mean that you recruit a guy and, like, let's just say you don't like the player per se. You're not as on fire about the player's talent as someone else. That does not mean you don't go after them. That's not what that means at all. What I would tell you, though, is if you've watched Hard Knocks, and this year I've not really watched it, but I've seen the viral clips of it, they have really shown a lot. There are disagreements. Like, some people like some players more and so on, whatever. When it comes to a general manager or a scouting staff, any of that. But when it comes to just LSU in general, I am of the belief that the Tigers have players that they like more than others. And then there are players in the recruiting classes that some people on the staff like more than others as well, inside your own building. What you don't want, though, is everybody being gung-ho about every single prospect. You want disagreement. You want people with outside opinions. I think that has hurt some LSU coaching staffs in the past, saying something to please someone. You know, I think that's very important when it comes to recruiting. I understand there's a lot of focus on NIL and all of that, but there's still a massive football impact in terms of when you watch a player, do you believe that he fits what you are doing? And I say all of this because there is a brand new defensive staff, and the defense will look different next year. So it's very important to keep that in mind. It's very, very important. We say hi to Jared with our first super chat. Thank you so much. PJ, of course, hit the like button. This was something I did as a little birthday surprise for my neighbor. So a lot of you heard the story last week with the EA college football that my neighbors kicked my ass. And they really did. So today, one of them celebrated a birthday, my little friend named Zion, and I surprised him because they have always wanted to play video games on my stream. I surprised him with the chance to play on my stream. And as you saw, Zion is really freaking good at the game. But you guys boosted their self-esteem. They really freaking enjoyed being in front of all of you. So I really do appreciate everyone that showed up and showed out. It was definitely a lot of fun. But if you want to see me play the video game, check it out. It is a lot of fun. Okay. Shout out to Tyler, who right now, Tyler is touching my head. Pause. He's the one that made me this hat. Now, the next thing I want to get into is, you know, I'm going to be doing more short form content. I'm not necessarily doing it to grow. I'm doing it to experiment. So I don't know if I'm actually going to post the shorts on YouTube. If I find something relevant, like really relevant, like there was a Garrett Nussmeyer quote from Media Days that I posted, I'll post some shorts. But on TikTok and Instagram, I'll be releasing a short here pretty soon. And sometimes in life, you just got to be lucky. And one thing that's it's been pretty good for Brian Kelly is throughout his career, he has had some really good schedule luck fall in his favor. And the things I consider to be schedule luck is like first-year head coaches. There are a lot of first-year head coaches on the docket this year on LSU schedule. A lot. There is also a lot of potential fired coaches on this year's schedule. And I want to just point this out. I don't remember a year where LSU played two games versus interim coaches. And that very well could happen. And you could even see three games versus interim coaches this year. One being Arkansas. If Arkansas just comes out and they just suck, they'll have the buyout money now to get rid of Sam Pittman. If Florida comes out and struggles, like a lot of us expect them to, you could see Florida kick Billy Napier to the curb. And then you have Vanderbilt with Clark Lee, who had a very good year one for Vanderbilt standards. Their over-under was 2. They ended up winning 5. But then last year, Vanderbilt was terrible. And more than likely, Vanderbilt is going to be even worse this year. So you could see three interim coaches on LSU schedule this year. I would lean towards there being at least one. And then on top of that, you have a first-year coach at UCLA, first-year head coach at Texas A&M, first-year head coach in Alabama. So taking out first-year coaches and guys that are really on the hot seat, how many coaches would you say on LSU's schedule right now feels comfortable about their future at that school? Obviously, you would like to think Lincoln Riley's not going anywhere at the USC with what they're paying him in the contract that he has. But Shane Beamer, I don't know if I feel comfortable about that, but he'll still be the head coach when you play him. UCLA, this could be one of those one-year deals. Arkansas might be out. But really, there's only 4 to 5-ish coaches that you would feel comfortable is going to be the head coach of their school the next year. USC, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Oklahoma. That's it. That's it. So that to me is very, very interesting. Continuity matters. Continuity matters. It is still insane to me that LSU will have the same starting offensive line at four of the five positions for the third consecutive year. Now, there is one concern about the offensive line. We addressed it in our sleeper episode from earlier this week. But if that gets addressed, which is the overall backup situation, and by address, I don't mean addressed at this point of the year, but if the guys they expect to be the top backups are good, you're looking at one of the best, if not the best, LSU offensive line of all time. Uh-oh. The Master Blaster is here. What's good? He's here. Now, let's take a few more before we get to a break and we get to our guest here this lovely evening. Make sure I'm not still getting a bunch of y'all asking if we're bringing back the Twitter stream. I'll probably do it on Sunday. I'll succumb and give Elon I don't know, what is it, $8.99 a month? I did not know that many people watched on Twitter. I find YouTube to be, and I know Elon's listening, is going to nuke my Twitter algo. I find the YouTube experience being the absolute best. We say hi to Carson, our first super chatter of the evening. Carson, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. And by the way, if we get to 50 in super, we're already basically halfway there. What are we giving out? I'll give out a U.S. Army Bowl autograph card. So there you go. Actually, I kind of feel like giving out a Ja'Marr Chase card. I don't know exactly why. Good vibes for him to get his new contract. So if we get to 50 in supers, I'll give out a Ja'Marr Chase card tonight. Okay? So freaking excited for Saturday, seeing all you guys. Lance, what's good? Good to see you on the face base. So there you go. Carson, get your question in. I'll try and squeeze it in before the break. If not, we will get to a TOV, get to see you. Now, next thing, and I want this to be very crystal clear about the LSU defense. One thing that's kind of shocked me is, like, I get a lot of pick sixes with Ashton Stamps. So I don't know if that's just, like, confirmation. But one of you sent me the wildest, wildest Twitter message. And y'all can go read this one in a DM. This is crazy. I was like, Carter, I want you to know Aaron Burrell is nasty on dynasty mode. Tony! So Tony gets the Ja'Marr Chase card. You win. Congratulations, Tony. I'll send it out ASAP. I'll send you some other cool stuff as well. And yeah, we've already hit our mark. So, Tony, you'll get to ask the very first question to our dear beloved guest, my bestest friend in the sports media sphere. I thought for a second he was moving to New York City. He'll be coming up right after this. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. He's my friend and yours, Mr. Blake Ruffino. What's going on, my friend?
How are you doing? I know one thing. NOPOD needs to pay you like big time money for that for that ad. That's a big one right there, buddy. That you did a good job on that.
Yeah, it's my guy, my college roommate.
Okay.
So this is the entrepreneurial spirit. he's built his own little life in Gonzales, but he was the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes really hit him hard, and he said, look, I can do what some other companies can't do. There was a supply and demand issue, and he was like, I'm just going to do it. He had no experience with it. He's been doing it since we've been out of college. So shout out to Steve Perilou, and shout out to you, man. Tony, what'd you say?
I think it's great to be here.
Yeah. LSU finish with the top class, as in the number one national class. Can they do it, without a doubt?
Can they do it? Yes. I think they got a lot that they need to do to get there. I mean, this the list?
Via LSU recruits on Instagram. I just like the way that they.
Yeah, I don't know about Mason Dunn there at the bottom. Mike Tyler's going to be there. Aiden Anding's already there. Phillip Wright's already there. Chase is there. Brandon's already there. DJ's on his way. Jamie Finch will be there. Yeah, list is about right. Yeah.
And then 2026 is coming in hot.
Yeah, Chris Henry's going to be there. Jakeem Stewart's already there. Jabari Mack's already there. Dylan's there. So, yeah. Yeah, looks about right.
I think the most shocking name to me is Chris Henry.
They're high on Chris Henry.
Well, he should be.
They're going all in on him, by the way. Can I give you a recruiting tidbit?
Let's go. Bring it.
Frank's all in. Chris Henry Sr. is from Belchase.
Really? I know. I didn't know that. So
yeah, Chris Henry Sr. is from Belchase. And legend has it, head coach at OP Walker used to try to get him to go to Belchase to OP, and it didn't happen. And Frank always regretted not getting the kid.
Interesting. So
mm-hmm.
Let me put this up.
Also, really, Chris Henry Sr. is also really good friends with one Cortez Hankton.
Didn't know that. So Chris tragically passed in 2009. God, it doesn't even feel like that's that long.
Right.
Bengals wide receivers, man, they have always had an aura.
Especially in that era.
Man, I can't even name my favorite one. I know, like, everyone says, like, Chad Ochocinco from that era.
And DJ Mushmizu. You know, I used to walk into every draft I did and go, TJ Hushmazuda.
You know something else about TJ Hushmanzada?
Hmm.
Big LSU fan.
Yeah, his daughter played softball here, correct?
Yes, he's a big Tiger, man.
I also heard that a birdie told me that Chris Hilton, Jelani Watkins, Jaden Daniels, Kyron Lacy, trying to think, all were in California like 2 weeks ago working out with TJ Hushmanzada.
No, I didn't know that. No.
I know it for a fact.
That is crazy.
I'll put my entire mortgage on it.
Good. I believe you, man. Yeah, so obviously you know, you're not going to land like every single player that's on that list. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, Tony, like people that really take recruiting projection seriously, they do think LSU has a shot at being the number one school. And it's so hard being number one. It's so hard to have that number one spot.
Well, and it's a lot to live up to. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I secretly hope they get land number two and then nobody really talks about it.
Yeah. In terms of hit rate, the best LSU recruiting class was actually the seventh ranked recruiting class.
Was that the Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase class?
That's actually one of the lower hit rates. It was actually the year before, 2017. Okay. And once again, we all have like when I say hit, I mean
Burrow would be in the 17 class.
No, he's 18.
Oh, 18 class?
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
So 17 was. I mean,
yeah, 18 had a lot of those dudes transfer out.
Yeah, dude, 18. Mm-hmm, like that's
right. You're right.
And honestly, if there was a few things that bounce right, and this is what's so weird about recruiting is so many people think it's all about did you land the guy or do you have enough NIL? Sometimes it just comes down to luck, right? Do you have players from the previous class that can compensate for the misses for the next class, right? So 2017, I think it was like two out of every three players. So they had a 66% hit rate. Normally it's just one out of every two. It's like anywhere from like 42 to like.
Oh, it wouldn't be just two out of three.
Yeah. 2017 was two out of three. And You got to factor in that one of those guys never even gave it a shot. Seth Stewart out of West Virginia. He just quit.
Do you really even add him into that?
Yes. Because especially then, because that took up one of your 25 slots. Okay. So.
Well, remember by that time, they didn't technically have 25. Remember, it was based off of what you did the year before. Remember? Okay.
Yes.
Right. True. Like, so if you got like 23, then you could have had 27 or 28, however my math works there.
But still, now, like, if you want to sign 50 high school guys, you can. There's no, that does not really have
well, to. To the point of there being 105 scholarships, which got passed this week, I don't know if you don't start seeing classes like 35. So here's the question, Carter, that I have going into college football now.
Yeah.
What does the 105 roster do? What does TV revenue sharing do, right? Because then you're now having to pay 105 players that would be on scholarship. Here's another thing. If you're Brian Kelly, you don't have to cut anybody. You don't have to all those kids that you process this year come August of 2025 will not have to, like, they're going to be here. Right. And so you know what happens in that. And I talked about this at great length last night. I'm going to use this young man because his name's going to be talked about all weekend. Because you're going to 105, you can offer Aiden Anding 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Because even if you want to see him, why aren't you going to take a risk on somebody, right? Like, why aren't you going to – I mean, offering a kid late in state means nothing anymore now. Because you're saying you got to get to 85, you got to get premier talent. No, you can develop a kid now. It kills G5s. It kills mid-majors. But the NCAA and nobody makes money from them. So, like, as much as we all say, we want them to be great. No, you don't. Because, Carter, think about this. What if I told you that next season you could add 20 more players than what you have right now? Imagine adding two more running backs. Imagine having two more offensive linemen. Imagine having two more wide receivers. Could you imagine two more defensive linemen? Could you imagine two more linebackers, corners, safeties? Then what? Mm. Oh, by the way, I'm not even at – I mean, I'm getting to around 20, but I'm not at 20.
I know. You could sign – dude, you can just sign like crazy.
Yeah.
I'll save the baseball conversation because I've only had two college baseball takes that I have always been
– yeah.
strength. 11.7 scholarships out the window. Thank God. The best, the worst rule in college sports was I'm not being hyperbole here. It was the worstest rule in college sports. That so
they, the baseball purists have a problem with it.
Well,
because your roster could be technically 35 players and now it's 34, but you can offer them all full scholarships. So there are 6,000 baseball schools in America. So 6,000 players have to get cut. So going into 2025, 6,000 players at minimum that would normally be on a roster and what you would consider D1, they all are going to get cut. So that's going to replenish JUCOs. It's going to replenish NAIAs. I mean, it's a significant thing. But again, in baseball, you can offer Luke Hill from Ole Miss, who was the shortstop. Carter, it's going to be bigger in baseball because not everybody's going to fund all those scholarships outside the SEC. And I know for a fact that Jay Johnson told Scott Woodward he would throw hands with him if he doesn't give him all 34.
Yeah.
And Carter, think about this. Okay, I know you don't want to get on the baseball thing, but just very quickly.
No, go ahead, yeah.
Jay Johnson, imagine if this was football. Jay Johnson has landed the last 3 years the highest prospect not to go in from high school that doesn't go in the draft the last 3 years, period. Chase Shores, Cam Johnson, and now William Schmidt. You're going to now have to convince me through sources that the 100% scholarship that will be coming William Schmidt's way doesn't, and NIL doesn't play a massive factor. So, you know what? Can I give you a hot take? Remember about 6 months ago, me and you had a show, and I said I'm starting to actually like the NCAA a little bit. Like, I think that they're doing things that people like. Hey, man, Charlie Baker. All right, Charlie. I'll see you, Charlie.
I can't trash him, man. I also think
now, he was forced to do it. But he's the one that came up with the proposal. So it's still his proposal that got passed, will get passed tomorrow. So I'm just like, dude, Charlie Baker, the man that we needed, the politician we needed. You know, he's the JFK of the NCAA. Too soon? Don't need to get political? Okay.
Wait, the JFK.
JFK changed more laws and regulations in the first 6 months of his tenure. Well,
since you're not afraid of dark humor, I was like, where were you going to say? Were you going to say mind blowingly
good?
That's what I was trying to. I was trying to get the punchline. Before we get you to answer Zach's super chat here. I also think the baseball purists are going to hate that.
Jeezy might be right. It might have been 40. I thought it was 35. But regardless.
No, it adds to your point.
Yeah, it adds to my point.
So,
thank you, Jeezy.
So this is what's interesting to me is a few baseball purists are going to hate that the stronger schools gain such a massive advantage. But my retort to that is, yes, I love the fact, like, I become such a huge college baseball nerd in the postseason. It is my favorite college postseason sport. And I'm not just saying it just to say, I watch every freaking pitch of the regionals and super regionals. And this week when I heard Mike Rooney says he wants a regional expansion, I was like, Mike Rooney, you know way more about baseball. Your opinion should matter more than me, but don't change these regionals, man. The freaking
You'll just get more baseball, high intense baseball. I mean,
so you wouldn't mind a 32 regional?
I don't know about 32. I think that's a bit much because 32 times four. You know, but they know what they're doing. I mean, of all sports, I think that baseball is the highest growing, my opinion, but. I watch it more than I watch Major League Baseball sometimes, and I'm a massive Knicks fan.
It's not even close for me, Blake. I am.
Yeah, and they gotta figure something out in Major League Baseball. I think they need to juice the baseballs personally.
No, okay. Last thing on the thing, and we'll get to Sibley Super Chat after this Jonah Williams thing. The purists are going to hate that the bigger rosters, the teams that have the money, the LSUs, the Arkansas, so on and so on, they're going to hate because they're going to be able to flex their money more. They'll max out the Scholies and do NIL. Correct. What I would also tell you, though, and I actually worked on a piece regarding this, there were more schools during the 11.7 era that didn't hand out all their scholarships. And I was like, why do you even have a program? That should be illegal. Like, that you have 11.7 for a 20.
Because Title IX hurt college baseball more than anything.
Yeah. And
you know what, Carter? Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to get political, but this is something here. You know why? They literally are telling Title IX and revenue generating sports to go fuck themselves.
Excuse my language.
But I mean, like, they 100% are telling everybody that, like, hey, man, we got nothing for you. You better hit the streets. And people are going to hate that. But, Carter, I don't mean this in a wrong way, but beach volleyball, I mean, it needs to be a club sport. I mean, like, what are you funding it? Like, why are you funding swimming? You know, like, why are you funding that? I mean, I got in this argument yesterday. It was on Twitter. You can go and see it. Someone was trying to argue me, don't cut non-revenue generating sports. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can see that because a lot of baseball schools don't make that. Some do. I get what you're saying. It's not fair to football that they fit the bill for everybody. And that's literally what happens. Right? Like, they fit the bill for everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody. And so, I mean, come on, dude.
That and March Madness, but in terms of sports, it's definitely that. And look, I mean,
March Madness is not a part of that ESPN $60 million contract. Not that you get.
No, but it makes $1 billion. It's
a right. Billion. I know, yeah, but I mean, you ain't seeing that money.
But Zach was waiting patiently. So it's
okay. Jonah Williams. I don't think that he's Chad Jones. I think our buddy that has been in Major League Baseball a long time compared him to Dion. He pushed back on his own take. His straight line speed, Carter, I mean, Chad had straight line speed, but this kid's faster than Chad Jones is. Like, night and day different. So Jonah Williams, five-star from Galveston, Texas, top 10 prospect in the country. Carter can play both, will play both. His dad's a circuit court judge, a court of appeals judge, maybe, I think, in Galveston. Comes from a really good family, can play both, throws 94 from the left side. I mean, the kid's a beast. I mean, if it came to baseball down alone to these four schools, I think it'd be between LSU and A&M. I know that it plays a massive factor there, but Oregon's going to spend the most money. And, I mean, it's not even remotely close. So, look, Oklahoma, too. I mean, Oklahoma, Skip Johnson at baseball, the only reason that they're in it the way that they are, Clayton Kershaw's pitching coach is, or the guy that he goes and works out with, is the head coach for baseball at Oklahoma, and they're both left-handed pitchers. So,
oh, okay, well, yeah.
Very, very – baseball heavied here outside of Oregon that's got the most money. So, look, I think LSU does sit in a very good spot. He'll be here this weekend. If I'm Brian Kelly, I literally get the money out of the way. I get the money. I invite Jay Johnson to the Bayou Splash, and you get out of the way. I mean, if you want to be real, you invite Jay Johnson to the Bayou Splash, and you literally leave.
Okay.
You talk to Jonah Williams, but you let Jay Johnson and his staff take care of it, because if Jay's got the money, he ain't walking.
Okay.
It ain't gonna happen.
But I think a lot of viewers, and I can't have an opinion on this, but you can. A lot of viewers are worried that you might have a Zach Lee situation here, where he never plays.
No, football. No, I don't think so. He would have. Now, it could happen if he goes in a top 5 to 10 picks. Yeah, that can definitely happen. Carter, the kid really wants to play baseball. I mean, play football. Really, really, really wants to play football. By the way, he comes from a shootload of money. They ain't worried about money. The only way that the only way that A&M, LSU, and Oklahoma are in there is because that they come from money. If it's about the money, he's going to Oregon. Bottom line, they're offering the most. So, it is what it is.
Imagine having five-star athleticism in two
in sports. Both sports.
And you have money.
Here's the truth. I'm not going to go that far. He's definitely better in baseball than Chad Jones is. Not remotely close. Remotely close.
With roster change, recreating the freshman team from the old days. So basically, the old days, there was a separate freshman team with the varsity team. I don't know. We'll start with the first one here. I'll say this. Is there room for a college football preseason game of some sort? Sure.
Say that again.
Is there room for a college football preseason game of some sort?
Yeah, it's called the spring game. Face each other off. Face off with somebody. Go to Clemson and play them and see what happens. Do a scrim. I mean, you do it in. Here's the crazy thing. You ready? You do it in high school football every year around the country, and it works.
And guess who else does preseason?
If you tell me the MLS, I'm going to throw up.
No, the NFL does. They have.
Well, yeah, but they don't really do it. But if you had one game and you could scrimmage like Clemson. You can get two drives with your first team. There's so many different things you can do. The preseason, it's so close to the season. Why risk getting hurt at all?
Yeah, I would love a game during the spring game, but I'm trying to, and I get what Sibley's saying here. I'm trying to think of a way you can do what he's talking about, like a freshman team. I don't think you can do that now. I mean, the game has changed so much.
Ain't Mo Hampton, Pegasus. He's not Mo Hampton. He's a better overall athlete than Mo Hampton was in the chat. Second, why is there so much hate for Texas? Carter, they're the cockiest human beings on the face of the planet. Carter, you know people in Texas, do you not? You're in Arkansas. So I'm assuming you see people from Texas a lot more than I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know people that work in the athletic department, or I have known people that.
Well, I do too, and he's still petty. He's always been petty. They are the cockiest fan base. Bro, they're running out there saying their media is running out there saying we're competing. And look, I love Josh Pate. I don't think that he's wrong about a lot of things. I really, really don't. And he's got Texas in their SEC championship game. I can't even remotely go close to there. I can't. Carter, their secondary was 113th in the country in passing yards allowed, and they were top five in sacks, and they were second on third down conversion rate. My thing with them is that what happens now that they don't have two elite defensive tackles there? You're not going to play – hey, Carter, you know who the team is? I know that you hate this team. Guess who the team is this year that last year that they would have to play in the SEC that they almost lost to? They almost lost to Houston a season ago. That year, that team will be Kentucky for them. If they play the way that they did against Houston, against Kentucky, they're not going to win.
But, Sibley, the reason why people hate Texas so much is
– they're bad.
They're back.
We're back. Hey, name that quarterback.
Oh, I know who that is. He wore number 11. Had a nice stint with the Indianapolis Colts, Mr. Sam Erlinger.
Mm-hmm.
But
what a doofus!
Never forget the biggest thing that happened from that game at the Sugar Bowl was Bevo and the Bulldog going at it.
That's right.
That was peak.
Remember when they thought that they were going to win a national championship because they beat Georgia? They said the SEC was soft. And then Burrow, this guy, walked in there and kicked their ass.
Now the we both got Joey B paintings behind us. Gina Babina says, Carter, disregard your lush guest who doesn't go to LSU football games because he thinks that people would recognize him.
When did I ever say that?
Did you say that?
Mm-hmm. I think Gina Babina might be a bot.
Oh, she is. Look, she's changed her avatar again. I'm confident that Gina Babina is.
I have some haters out there, man. I mean, if you don't believe me, just ask my wife. Carter, yeah, disregard the lush guest who doesn't go to LSU football games. So, Carter, can I ask you a question? Is it a big deal that why is there a problem with me not going to games and doing post games right after it? What am I? You do realize when you go to the stadium, you see less than what you do when you're at home and are able to prepare for a post game. It's my job. I make 2/3 of my salary during football season. And then I have a pretty good idea of who's making these YouTube bots because they're coming into my show. The guy got unemployed. Okay. He's a loser and his business went under because he cheated on his wife. That we shouldn't be doing that here. But I mean, I'm sorry that I bring my hatred towards you on your show. People don't like me, man.
So we got to look up businesses that just failed in Baton Rouge to figure out who this is. Mm-hmm. And the way you'll know is if the person just switched to a joint Facebook account, that's who it was.
Yeah, so it was.
So that's all you got to do, man, to figure that out. All right, so as someone who goes to the occasional game and does the post game show, I probably would not have gone to the final two games. I went to Florida and A&M. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I went to those games because of Jaden Daniels. That's the main reason I went. And I went to the Arkansas game because my wife had never – well, she had been, but we had never went to a game together. The only reason I'm able to go is because I have a place near campus I could do my post-game show. So I sprint over there and do it.
And I do not.
Yeah. So that's why you honestly can't go to the game.
Bro, every post-game show from a download on the audio gets at least 10,000 listens. No, I cannot. Spare me. On Apple and Spotify and YouTube. Spare me.
Kevin, Jonah's a great athlete, great speed. Texas fans are also Dallas Cowboy fans.
That is Carter, do you believe they are the cockiest fan base right now? They really think that they're going to waltz in here and beat our ass.
Who, Texas?
Yeah, like Texas thinks they're going to come into the SEC and kick rear end. And I'm sitting here saying, no, you're not.
I think they're going to be good. I do.
They're going to be good. But, I mean, Carter, are they going to go undefeated outside of when they play Georgia?
No. Here, since we have you here, I'm putting together like my preseason SEC take videos for Power Hour SEC.
What am I? You want to know my 1 through 16?
You're 1 through 16. Okay.
All right, let me write this down. I'd have to. This is on the fly, so I have the ability.
Don't do it on the fly. You don't have to do it on the fly. Let me ask you this: to not have you have to write all these names down. What is your boldest SEC take? Do you
have Ole Miss is playing in the SEC championship game for the first time this year?
Okay,
that's my boldest take. Going to go into the season with yes. I think that people are worried about their running game. Did you watch Ulysses Bennett against LSU? Now, I don't know what schedule, like what game they are. I mean, Carter, their first real true test is Kentucky, Then they go at South Carolina, then at LSU. You know how you are on those back-to-back road games. Oklahoma, a bye week before Oklahoma. They got Arkansas, Georgia. I mean, Carter, at worst, they're 10-2. I think they're going to beat Florida, beat Mississippi State. I think they beat Kentucky. I mean, I think the two toughest games are Georgia and LSU, if I'm being honest. And, I mean, Oklahoma, too. I can't scoff at them either.
Yeah, so when I did my Ole Miss schedule evaluation, LSU got very lucky getting them where they got them. That's a very good spot for LSU and not a great spot for Ole Miss. But I do think there is so much extra equity with your schedule when the back end features coaches that are on hot seats. So Ole Miss could be playing an interim head coach at Arkansas. Ole Miss could be playing an interim head coach at Florida. Same thing for LSU. You get the two hottest seats in the SEC, which are probably those two seats. You get Arkansas and Florida later in the year. LSU and Ole Miss could be playing both of those teams with an interim coach.
Could be.
And then the only break that – and Ole Miss didn't get a whole lot of breaks, but – one thing that didn't break their way and has been a huge benefit for the Lane tenure is the Vanderbilt game. So Ole Miss doesn't get Vanderbilt anymore, which was their permanent cross-division rival and a very underrated reason why Ole Miss was so successful under back, Lane.
Put that back up.
Oh, you want me to put the
– yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, got it.
Auburn. Golly. I would be doing you a disservice. I went through all 16. I can give you my top six. I can give you my top six though.
All right, let's hear it.
Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, LSU, Bama, Mizzou.
So that would be Mizzou over Tennessee, Mizzou over Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Look at Mizzou's schedule.
It's by far the easiest in the SEC this year, and it's there's not a close second. It is by far the easiest.
Carter, they could go into whatever week that is on October the 26th at Alabama undefeated.
Oh, man.
I mean, like at worst, I think that they lose three games. I think they're 10-2, 11-1, brother. And – you want to hear another hot take? I don't know if they're not in the SEC championship game. I mean, Carter, that schedule is for them. They can win 11 of those games, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're near mortal lock to be 4-0 to start the year. Also, one other thing that Missouri got. Okay, LSU, I went through and I ranked all the schedule difficulties, and I'm not going to release them just yet. The kid I was playing on video games earlier almost showed everyone. Something else about Missouri. They not only get the schedule for this year, they get it for 2025. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So back-to-back years they could do this.
Yes. So back-to-back years, no Texas. Back-to-back years, no Georgia. Back-to-back years, no Tennessee. And
back-to-back years, no LSU.
No LSU as well. One other thing, and this blew my mind on top of Missouri having a soft schedule. They are the only team in this double bye week year to go four bye week. So, in theory, they have the most equitable rest. Because Ole Miss, they have to go seven in a row. So, I will tell you this. I have been a huge Eli Drinkwitz fan.
Now, think about this. We did our deep dive on them yesterday. So they have Cook returning. He had 3,317 passing yards last year, 29 total touchdowns. Think about this. They bring in Marcus Bryant at left tackle from SMU. Caden Green from Oklahoma was a starter at guard. Here's the biggest thing. They add Marcus Carroll. We saw him last year, that running back from Georgia State that ran all over us. Brother, in their front seven, I know Darius Robinson's left. they legitimately have, they're number two in the SEC in tackles for loss returning. So we're talking about Blake Baker leaving. Like, I get that. Shit.
You want to know one of my tinfoil this is one of my tinfoil SEC theories, okay?
That Blake Baker had a lot of good talent and that made him good?
No, I am actually very pro.
I thought you were going really tinfoil.
No. I did not like Madhouse, and that's not just revisionist history. A lot of people know I did one of the first like negative.
I mean, you were basically the reason he got fired.
Which I still find that so interesting that has been floated out that little clip. I will defend Madhouse in a lot of different ways, but one my real tinfoil hat thing, I actually do love Blake Baker, is so the SEC was determined if they were going to go to 8 or 9 games. Mm-hmm. All right. So there were 5 teams that voted for the 9-game schedule. And according to reports, those 5 teams were LSU, Missouri, Texas A&M, Florida, and Georgia. Okay. Georgia wants a tougher schedule. They do, because they're tired of hearing it. They want more marquee home games. Because Georgia plays that neutral site game in Florida every year, they never get as many I think one thing LSU fans kind of take for granted is how good LSU's home slate has been in terms of like big games. You notice there's never really a big game played in Samford. So they wanted a tougher schedule. They were tired of hearing about it.
Florida, they got that Tennessee game a couple of years ago when Hendon Hooker and the boys went in there. That place was loud.
Because that was the only marquee game that they game of relevance that they've really had in Samford. So they want more inventory, and they know they can handle it. Florida's always going to have a tough schedule if they're out of conference. But I went through and did my schedule rankings, and the 3 best schedules, the 3 easiest schedules, were
Missouri, LSU,
and Texas A&M. And
we got done talking about Texas A&M tonight because we've been doing a deep dive on every team that we play this year.
Okay.
Let me ask you what you think about this. On paper, Texas A&M, I don't think they're going to be that bad, if I'm being honest, because I think that they can win, okay, against McNeese, Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
I think that the early part of their season, if they split games between Notre Dame and Missouri, have an off week, go to Mississippi State. Carter, they got LSU coming into town, potentially what would that be? 7-1?
Yeah.
Okay. So they got talent, man. Nick Scowerton's a beast. That defense, Shamar Stewart moves inside. They got a lot of offensive linemen returning. But my gut, my mind tells me that they could be a 9-3 team, 10-2 team. My gut says, Blake, don't you dare do that. They're going to be 8-4.
Yeah. I understand the Notre Dame game is tough. That's a tough home and home you have to play. But, man, no Alabama, no Georgia, no Tennessee.
But you got Texas at the end.
Okay. And I get it, and I understand that there was people on both sides that weren't too on fire about bringing the game back. What I would say, though, is
wouldn't it be poetic justice if A&M beat them?
Exactly. They were so – there was a piece of them – I think most fans are excited that Texas is back in the SEC because they get this game back. But there's a lot of A&M fans that wanted to be the only school in Texas. But they had to play Texas. It wouldn't feel right if they didn't play Texas on rival. Mm-hmm. So A&M, Ole Miss, I mean, A&M, Missouri, LSU get the 3 easiest schedules, in my opinion. They were also the ones that voted for 9. So I'm wondering if Sankey was like, hey, just take 8 and live with it because we're giving you an easy eight. And you'll see how much you love eight with you guys knocking on the door for the college football playoff. I would like to think, okay, all right, true or false, LSU or Missouri makes the playoff this year?
True.
All right. True or false, SEC gets five teams into the inaugural playoff?
I'll go false.
Okay. So if you think LSU or Missouri,
if you think about the Big Ten alone, like for example, like let's say the SEC gets four in, okay? You have the Big 12 that will get at least one, the ACC that will get at least one, okay? The group of five that automatically gets one, and you're probably going to get three Big Ten teams in there.
Right.
And I'm not even counting, like, Carter, what if there's a possibility you get two ACC teams in there? You know, like, what is Florida State? What is Miami? By the way, I got Miami going to the playoff. I got them winning the ACC.
Oh, God. The Fighting Cam Moores. Are you kidding me?
Carter, you know on their offense and defensive line, they have eight total five-star prospects.
Do you think Cam Moore's good? Do you think he's
pretty good? If he reduces the turnovers, yes. One thing about that Washington game, remember the Washington game last year? I will in just a moment, yes. Okay, go ask Mommy. Daddy's working.
Wait, no. I heard your dad. I heard your son saying he's hungry.
Uh huh.
Well, you can't. I don't want to be known as a channel that.
No, no. He's got to learn a lesson. He's got to learn a lesson. No, sir.
Well, what's the lesson?
If you better eat when it's time to eat.
Oh, he didn't eat when it was time to eat?
No, he did played around. So he gonna learn a lesson. He's not gonna go hungry.
I'm going to defend Ben though.
His what mother will get him something.
No, what was the meal though?
Pizza.
Oh well, Ben, I mean, come on. I mean, he makes
LGZ in the chat throw batting practice to him when he comes over.
Oh, so you and LGZ are boys? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
When he comes over, if you lived close to here, you'd be able to come over here Saturday too. By the way. I have perfected how to make steaks. There is no steak better in the country than the one that I will make on Saturday. I had one today, and my wife bought me these metal, what they call steak plates. You know how, like, would your fajitas come out on?
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Listen to me. Listen to this. Hold on. Hold on. Before you judge. Before you judge, listen. They have a little a little thing in there where it's got where you can, like, you know, on a steak, you when you're done with it, you put butter on it, let it melt. So when the butter melts, they have a little contraption where you can cut your steak and dip your melted butter right in the pan, right in the sheet pan. It is the most incredible Father's Day gift I've ever gotten. I have perfected the best steak. Perfected it. And I'm not cooking, you know, filet mignons. No way. You're going to eat a ribeye in this house. By the way, you can come watch the fight on Saturday if you'd like.
I was going to invite you to the big shindig this weekend, Shreveport Card Show this Saturday. I'll be set up, man. I have my whole collection.
I've already spent my money on the UFC fight card. I can't do it. Sorry.
By the way, I do not remember the fighter's name, but there was a fighter from Louisiana. I think his name's Kurt something.
Yeah, Kurt Hardball. Yeah, from A-Meat. Yep.
So, true story. One of the people in his inner circle designed the PHL logo. So,
oh, really?
Big shout. I'm happy for
him. Yeah, he does. He has his own gym in Amy, like right up the road up here.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. So I was cheering for him from afar. Really excited about that. We'll give you a few more so you can go feed your child. We're not going to.
Megan's up. I can hear.
Okay, there we go. Cliff says Blake Baker made their defense semi-good. The Missouri defense takes a step back, and they catch at least three L's.
Yeah, but you're also – like everybody keeps talking about, Cliff, that their defense is taking a step back. We haven't talked about their offense taking a step forward with everybody returning.
Their receivers were young. Yeah,
there were Theo Weiss returns, Luther Burden returns. You got four of the five starting offensive linemen returning. You got one out of the portal that's going to be at left tackle. You have a guy at left guard that was all Big 12 guy coming in, starting at left guard if you need him to. Marcus Carroll, man. I mean, and then they got the Noel kid from App State who might be Carter. They have a running back. I forget his first name. I think it was Nolan Noel. He was a running back out of App State last year. Jitterbug. They're going to throw him the football out of the backfield and watch out. The kid can fly. So they got a power back in Marcus Carroll that almost ran for 100 yards on you, if I'm not mistaken, last year at Georgia State. And all right, y'all keep playing. How much better, Carter? I mean, Brady Cook can be better from one year to the next. He scored 29 touchdowns a season ago.
Yeah, I mean, I will blindly bet Missouri's over until it doesn't cash for me. So maybe that's just me being too confident in Elijah Drinkwitz. One thing I like about Elijah Drinkwitz, I understand, like, he looks kind of like a nerd, but I just
know. He is a nerd. He is a nerd.
But I will say this, okay? The way he ruthlessly ran up the score on Arkansas lets me know that he has some asshole in him.
Oh, and what he did to Tennessee. Remember what he did to Heupel? Remember when he ran up to Heupel at the end of last year and was like, I forget what he said, but he like was talking shit to him?
Yeah, no. That wouldn't shock me. I don't. And yeah, I did it.
Go pull up the video.
I need to. I did that was actually the most watched film study I did on any channel last year. Tennessee fans love the film stuff. And that's where I became a big fan of Blake Baker. That scheme and that game
plan. Yeah, they shut them down, buddy.
Dude, it is so – and they had some fumble luck and stuff like that. But, man, they got a pick six, held them to 7 points. But
– let me ask you this question. Here's an LSU-related question. You ready? If Blake Baker and this defense do not improve, are we saying it was Matt House defensive coordinator woes or if it's personnel?
This is one thing Blake Baker has in his arsenal is if the defense crashes and burns this year, he does have a legitimate out in that the entire defense outside of the selected defensive tackles are back. Okay? The entire defense. So he could say, well, I didn't have my guys. You got to let me get a chance. And there is some validity to that. But, yeah, I mean, there is so much pressure for him to make the unit better. But, honestly, Blake, I'm not a huge fan of LSU's defensive personnel. I'm just not. But I think they have enough, and I like Blake Baker enough, that he's going to make them decent this year. Decent. Respectable. Like a
50- makes them decent, you're going to a playoff.
Right. Like, if 2022 LSU defense was on last year's team, LSU was winning the playoff. So I think they'll be a 50th or 60th ranked kind of unit.
We stand on business. That's right, Kevin.
Okay, man, this is why I love
Kevin. We stand on business. That's what Drinkwitz ran up the hype and was like, we stand on business.
I love it.
Oh God, it's so funny. Pegasus says, where would you rank your SEC quarterbacks? I put Carson Beck 1, Jackson Dart 2. I'm not a Quinn Ewers fan, man.
I don't know how you, I don't know how anyone could put him number one. I don't.
Who did this?
This was Saturday Down South.
Who the hell runs Saturday Down South? Because they're dumb. Quinn Ewers says no business being at number one. What's I could see Nico above Garrett. Nico's very dynamic. I could see Milrow right now before Garrett. I don't hate necessarily the order they have outside of Quinn Ewers being number one.
Right.
What's your thoughts on Jalen Milrow?
Okay, so it's funny. You and I talk more than anyone else.
We think the same. I love that we think the same.
But we honestly don't. There's a lot of things we don't disagree with. Because when I'm working on something big, I always reach out to you to get your opinion on it. But I did a very, very, very deep dive on Jalen Milrow last week. Like deep, deep. And
say it. Say it. Say it.
I think you should fade him at all costs. There's a lot of things that I do not like in this situation other than the recent history of guys that are like him that take massive leaps. We have seen so many experienced quarterbacks with very talented blue chip supporting casts and really good coaching take massive leaps. All right.
And he's got that now, buddy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The issue I have with Milrow doing the same, because a lot of Bama fans have compared him to Jaden as well. And there are a lot of similarities. Jaden, in 2022, took a boatload of sacks. Jaden didn't turn the football over. Jaden gave your team a chance to win every week. He just didn't give you ridiculous upside like he did in this last year. Milrow was the same way. He wasn't a high upside quarterback. He was a high floor quarterback. Didn't turn the football over. Made a lot of plays with his legs. Kept you in a lot of football.
Won him the SEC. I could make the argument, though, he had four straight passes to win them the SEC championship game. He took over the SEC championship game late and beat Georgia off of it. Oh, I agree with you that, yes, that he had some very difficult moments, did some very bad things as a first-year starter. However, let's not act like Burrow threw 16 touchdowns in 2018, too. And offensive play calling changes things. Secondly, Carter, I'm going to say this. He outperformed Carson Beck in that SEC championship game. I'll also be real with you. Considering what he had around him, I thought he outperformed J.J. McCarthy in the playoff game, because if you remember correctly, in that whole first half, remember that first half, Michigan had like five sacks?
Yeah.
Dude was running for his life. So I'm actually a little bit more optimistic on him than maybe you. The dude had some very clutch moments. Very clutch.
Yeah. The thing that's very different, though, about these quarterbacks that took the big leap. And in the video, I said, I don't think Jalen Milrow is bad because he's so absurdly athletic that he gives you a high floor. He's not going to just be terrible.
How much does a radio in the helmet help a kid like him?
A lot. It helps someone like him probably a little bit more. But I would also say this. The skill guys at Alabama, I am not sold on them. I am not.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
And I do think the sacks are an issue. I do think it's going to take DeBoer some getting used to, because Milrow's never had, in his 14 starts, he's never had a game where he's thrown for 34 passing attempts in a game. And three out of every four games that DeBoer coached, he had 35 or more passing attempts. Mm-hmm. So Washington didn't go as fast as they normally did, but in the years past, they played at a faster pace. under Kalen DeBoer. I think the sacks are a massive issue. And I do feel his sacks were a lot worse than some of Jaden's sacks in 2022. And I know a lot of
people also had three NFL wide receivers around him and had two first rounders around him too. I understand what you're saying. I agree. Jaden is a by far better passer. I thought he was a better passer in 22 than Jalen Milroe was in year one. However, I am very intrigued about how an elite offensive play caller does with him versus Tommy Rees.
So I actually consider that a weakness this year for Alabama, which is a play calling. If Ryan Grubb was still there, I'd feel a lot better. All right. I don't know 1,000%, gazillion, bajillion percent, know for sure who called the plays at Washington. I don't.
I mean, it was DeBoer's offense, was it not?
Yeah. But the thing that would concern me as an Alabama fan, Grubb has been with him for 12 years. And now he's gone. And the guy who's taken over the play calling duties has 2 years of Power 5 play calling experience. He wasn't good in either of them. And what I think, let's just say this Alabama offense sputters, I do not want my head coach calling plays unless it has to be a very certain circumstance where I want my head coach calling plays. So
do you think Brian Kelly doesn't have massive say-so in the offense?
He does. But Joe Sloan's going to call the shots.
Very true. But I get what you're saying. But here's the thing about DeBoer, though, man. He's been successful everywhere he's gone. And I think that you got to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves us wrong.
Yeah, and look.
And he might do that. He might prove us wrong.
No, I think that's who Alabama should have hired. But
I would have backed up the truck for Dan Lanning.
You would have had him over DeBoer?
Yes. Even though DeBoer beat him twice. Because he's going to figure it out. He's going to recruit his ass off.
We'll take a few more here for Blake. They're disrespecting Connor more than Coach 30.
Coach 30.
What?
Who's Coach 30?
You don't know Coach 30?
What am I missing?
Oh, come on, Blake. You know Coach 30.
No, what am I missing?
You can't not know Coach 30.
What am I missing?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
You gotta know.
Why am I having a brain fart?
You know Coach 30. Brendan Clinton. Coach 30.
Oh. I didn't know his name. I didn't know his name.
Davis?
Hey, this dude.
Piss down your leg.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Have you seen the one that he did of the NBA Finals? Did you see that one that he did?
No.
NBA Finals? So he's talking about the Mavs, and they're talking about how the season went, and they were like, hey, where's Kyrie at? And then he cuts to a scene of the Joe Rogan Experience, and he dresses up as Joe Rogan.
I did not see this.
That shit was so funny. He sounds just like Rogan. He goes, wow.
Let's go, 30.
Dude, he makes fun of Kyrie. It's the funniest shit ever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, it is time for you to get some beauty rest. You got to tag me in a tweet this weekend when you post the steak.
Oh, I do. I already made one, but I'm making more this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. When you actually... Yeah,
you have no idea. You think you know steak game? You have no idea. I just perfected it.
You salt... I already know what you do. You salt and pepper, steak seasoning, 3 minutes on one side, 2 minutes on the other. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
30 minutes on one side and 2 minutes on the other.
I said 3 minutes on one side, 2 minutes on the other.
No. I give it a very nice sear on both sides, maybe 1 minute to 2 minutes, of get a good crust on it. With these metal plates, I put it in the oven at 450 for 3 minutes, take them out, get the temp of them, put butter on them, let the butter melt, okay? Then the little contraption brings the butter down where when you cut your steak, you can dip it in some butter and eat it. By the way, 49.7 pounds right now. This guy.
Oh, you lost that much?
Yeah, 49.7.
Yeah, and what are you doing? Just
carnivore.
So you get up, eat some meat.
No, I get up and I'm fasting. Today I didn't eat until 2:30, and I eat some eggs and like 2-3 strips of bacon. Then tonight I ate a ribeye.
Oh, so you do two meals, and you're only eating eggs and bacon for lunch and steak for dinner.
Yeah, I didn't eat until 2:30. I fasted from 5:30 yesterday until 2:30 today because I'm not hungry.
But what do you mean? Full. What do you mean you fat 5:30?
From 5:30 yesterday evening till 2:30 today, I didn't eat anything.
So what, you're just drinking a bunch of water?
Yeah, some. Went and worked out, but I'm full. Eat until you're comfortably stuffed of healthy food, and you'll be fine. Don't eat when – can I tell you my biggest weakness?
What's that?
I'm a big fan of peanut butter, massive fan, and it kills me not to have some peanut butter right now. When I hit the 50 mark, I'm going to have me some peanut butter.
So you ate the steak at 5:30 p.m. Central?
Yeah, because I come in here – usually I eat around 6 –
yeah.
6:30, but I try to fast a long time and then get a workout while I'm fasting, so that when I'm in ketosis, I'm burning fat as my energy.
Oh, so what time do you go work out?
Probably about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Oh, nice. Go to Little Planet Fitness and just get
to Anytime Fitness. Today we did legs. I actually hurt this finger. You probably can't tell. I smashed it in. Yeah, there's the bruise right there. Smashed my finger in. Did some squats today. Big hit 225. Did 4 sets of 10. Boom, boom, boom. So your boy's back. Can I make a joke on your channel? I know you don't like crazy things being said. Can I say a joke?
Wait, that's probably the most wrong thing that I. Me of all people.
Okay. All right. Here it is. I'm getting World War III ready. I'm getting my body ready.
Okay. Do you're going to be in the, well, they're making a sequel of everything now. You're going to be in the sequel of 300. 301.
Yeah, that's my goal.
You're going to be the one that add to the 300.
I'm hitting 225, 4 sets of 10. By the way, when I hadn't been to the gym in like 6 years. So now I go 4 days a week. Now that I go 4 days a week, I don't remember women being this like hoochie in gyms, like wearing these type of leggings, like being that, like, I'm like, girl, I mean, I know that you're trying to be thotty, but Jesus, I mean, like, booty, 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 rocking everywhere. Like, my name's Busta Rhymes. I mean, Jesus, what is going on here?
I found you. I like that. What? I don't know. I think it's the filming. You know, you got to look good. But
do
yeah,
have to do that. Shave the beard down. But I do get 20 minutes on a bicycle, and I go pretty – pause, but I go pretty hard on it. For 20 minutes.
There you go. There you mm-hmm. go. Well, get your BRS, and we'll talk to you soon, my brother.
Look at these traps.
Look at you.
You're doing the egg game.
Yeah, I do eggs and sausage. I've lost some weight, but then I got taken out to lunch and had a shrimp po' boy and fries. So I've been just – and I ate that and I got that again.
Discipline, Carter. You
got
to have discipline.
I was like, I've not had a shrimp po' boy in a while. It was fire. And I was like, okay.
If you can't have discipline, how can we expect the young men that we talk about on a religious basis to have discipline?
That's true. I mean, then again, those young men have diets.
Nutritionists.
Yeah.
You can be your own nutritionist. All right. See you.
See you, bud. Every Monday, I'm on with him, Blake Ruffino. Give him a follow. AYS. We'll take a few more. Once again, our top super chatter of the evening. Sibley and Tony tied coming in hot. Rome, Carson, J-Red. Thank you guys so much. Jared says, I put on 25 pounds since my neck disc blew out. Yeah, you can't really move. I had a family member have that same surgery. I talk to Jared all the time, and Manning talked about this. But yeah, I had someone really close to my family do that surgery. It's horrible. I don't know what Blake's talking about. Pegasus says he appreciates the leggings and shorts the ladies wear in the gym. All right. So this would be my retort. Had it not been for Joey Swole calling out some of these filmers, I think, well, it's whatever you like. But yeah, wear whatever you want. But yeah, I mean, sure. Who doesn't like looking at beautiful people? Do I snack at all, or were you asking Blake? I don't know. What does he drink? I'm guessing just water and maybe black coffee. Yeah, Aiden Anding is absolutely ridiculous. So there you go. Now, I am not going to lie. I have had an absolutely crazy day. Obviously, we did the birthday LSU football stream from earlier with the neighborhood kids. We'll do it. We'll try and do it once a month or something like that. Had a few business calls. Once again, we want you to partner with PHL. And this is something I was going to say towards the end. I do have a videography team. So if your business wants to partner with PHL, I'll come shoot the spot, or I will have some of my PHL team members come shoot the spot. If you really want to be a partner with us, we like to go all out. You notice both of the, 30-second spots that we run on here are like edited. Like I take it very serious. I want to help grow your business. And last year, we helped Louisiana Controls. Really excited about them. Hopefully they hop back on with us. But we want you to be a PHL partner. Okay? I really do. We really, really, really do. And you get extra equity that you're going to get, a nice-looking spot. And if we can work it out, we can come to your location. That's part of it. That alone with the, partnership plans that I have, you're getting massive ROI just on what we can do for your business in terms of making it look nice. But then you also get my diverse audience of some of the smartest people on the planet. So there you go. Now, not all of you are smart, but most of you are. We'll talk to you soon. I will not be live until Sunday, but on Saturday, Shreveport Car Show, July 27th, 735 American Way. We'll see you there. It is Pow Out LSU Boom. And tonight we are doing chicken quesadillas. Let's go. Let's go.